Welcome to Sexy Mom Abundant Life with best-selling author and coach Kathy Williams, a show to help you tap into the support of the universe and access the abundance that's available in every area of your life. Listen in for conversations and tools to create more ease, joy, and possibility with family, relationships, business, and living. Kathy's joyful perspective will help you tap into your own wisdom and create a life of presence and abundance your way. Listen live on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or anytime on iTunes or at IOM FM.
Welcome to Sexy Mom Abundant Life, everyone. Happy mid-December. It feels so crazy that it's this late in the year. Oh, and today's topic is one of my favorites, meditation. So before we dive in, I would love to hear from you about your questions for the show, ideas for show topics. Any and all of that is welcome, and you can find me and submit all of that and find a free money rain meditation at meetkathywilliams.com. Kathy with K, Williams with an S, meetkathywilliams.com. And if you give me show ideas, first off, it makes it relevant to you. And second of all, I don't have to come up with the topic. I like that a lot. But today's topic is one that's near and dear to my heart. It's something I've been doing for many years, a decade and a half, I think. Two decades, is meditation. And I hear a lot of people say, I can't meditate. So we're going to discuss that today. You can meditate. And we have heard a lot recently about the why of meditation, you know, lots of science-based research that it reduces stress and controls anxiety. Studies of like 2,500 participants show that a variety of different meditation strategies reduce anxiety levels, promotes emotional well-being. At least two of mindfulness meditation have been found to decrease depression and enhance self-awareness. There have been even studies that show people have better memory if they meditate. So there are a lot of different research-based benefits. Of course, yogis have been talking about meditation and the benefits of it for centuries with no real, you know, evidence-based stuff, but they've seen it in their own lives and in the lives of others. It's said to lengthen our attention span, which is amazing, especially in today's distracted world. And like I mentioned, may reduce age-related memory loss. At least 12 studies have found that various meditation styles increase attention, memory, and mental quickness in older adults. So that's pretty cool. Also boosts serotonin levels. I don't know how they measure this, but they say can generate kindness, which is cool, in a variety of studies, and may even help fight addictions. And all of us are addicted to something, whether you're addicted to Diet Coke or to other people's approval. We all have some sort of addiction. Meditation also, as it decreases anxiety, it's also been shown scientifically to improve sleep, control pain levels, decrease blood pressure, and all score of different benefits. So we have some of the why. We're going to go into the how today, and also what to do if you, quote, can't meditate. Now, I've been meditating since I was a teenager, and One of the things that I've found is at one point I made it like a have to, right? I have to meditate. It wasn't, oh, I meditate because it's so yummy and juicy and makes my day better. It was, I should meditate, so I do. And that's very different from having a meditation practice because it's yummy for you, right? Because you know it feels good and juices your day. There's a very qualitative difference to those two things. There's benefits regardless, right? But that one is like, I'm doing this because I love it and I love the way it contributes to my life. And the other is, I'm doing this because I should. Just like, oh, I'm writing a thank you note because I'm just so grateful and I'm happy for this person in my life and I'm so thankful for the gift versus I'm doing it because I should. That's the first off that I wanted to mention because there is a meditation out there. We may or may not touch on it today, but there is a meditation out there that will juice you, okay? That'll make you feel so happy to do it. And if you're doing meditation because it's I have to do this because, you know, I'm going to be a better person if I do it, but it's not a yummy thing for you, my recommendation is to start to explore some different practices because there are practices for every kind of oriented person. Some people are movement oriented. Some people are sound oriented. Some people are very visual. Some people are really good at the breath-based meditation and enjoy that. There are as many meditations as there are people. And so if you find something that really feels yummy, you're more likely to do it. We'll talk about some of the, well, let's just dive in right now. So there are a couple different types of meditation that are either directed or non-directed. Okay, so directed is considered one-pointed. You're pointing your mind in the direction of an object of your attention. And the object of your attention does not have to be an external object, although it could be. When I was in my college psychology class, for one experiment, I'm not sure what this was designed to demonstrate, but one of our things we had to do was choose an object and look at it and continue to sustain our attention on that object. So I'm holding a crystal here, and it would be just sitting with the crystal and being with it and seeing what develops in the relationship between me and the crystal. Now, funny enough, when I was in college, in that class, I chose a green plastic bowl. It was not a crystal. It was not a pretty object. Just like, I'm going to do this exercise with a green plastic bowl. And as I did it, it was fascinating because I'm not sure if we sustained our attention on that object for 20 minutes or how long it was, but over the course of my sustaining my attention on that bowl, like I began to see the bowl vibrate, like the molecules were vibrating. Super cool. All right. Now, as I said, you can focus on an external object like a crystal or a bowl or even something to you that's more spiritual, like if you're Christian, a cross or a Jewish star or whatever it is, something of value to you. But it doesn't have to be an external object. It can be an internal object, a yantra. Again, like a Jewish star or you could choose a cross, or, you know, the Hindus have these elaborate yantras that represent different things. These are symbolic objects that are considered to be that thing itself. So if I have a symbolic symbol, a drawing of a bunch of triangles, it might be called the Sri Yantra, and that would be symbolic of the universe, but it's also considered to be the universe. All right, so it's a symbol, but not a symbol. It is that thing. Your object of attention might not be a symbol or an object either in your head or in real life. It could be a part of your body. I'm navel gazing. I am focusing in on my heart. I'm bringing my attention to my third eye. Okay. One of those. Also, it could be an image developed by your own imagination. So you could imagine the moon over a lake in your mind, which is actually a very, very useful meditation if you have the tendency to impatience or anger, right? You're kind of cooling the mind by watching the moon over a lake, bringing soothing to the mind. It could be not just at a part, on a part of the body. It could actually be an inner rear, you know, like, oh, I would love to heal my liver. So I'm just gonna take some healing energy. Imagine my liver just being bathed in that healing energy. You know, a lot of people have used this sort of thing, creative visualization for healing different illnesses and things like that. And then another very popular directed meditation is that which focuses on the breath. Okay, mindfulness meditation does that. And we'll talk about mindfulness meditation in a bit. Also, some other directed meditations are either repeating a mantra aloud or internally. So you could repeat any kind of mantra like Om inside your head or verbally. And there are benefits to both. You could even take it from verbal, loud. Let's say your body's active, your mind is active. So you start in a more active way and then you start to take it progressively quieter until you just repeat it in your head. And then when you're ready, let's say after 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, when you're ready to go back out into the world, you could whisper the mantra and then take it a little louder and then take it a little louder and then, you know, chant it pretty loudly. Okay, so that would be the idea of going from your state. See, this is why a lot of people think they can't meditate, because they're out in the world, they're driving somewhere, they're doing their thing, and then they go to sit down, and their head is just still bouncing all over the place. And so going from, oh gosh, I've just been really active, taking the mind from that active place and taking it progressively into stillness can help a lot. Another way to do that is by doing a breath practice before you do your meditation. And this is actually why yoga practices were developed. Yoga was designed to, like, the movements of yoga, the asana, which most people think of as yoga. The yoga practice, the active practice, was designed to help you unwind all the physical physical tension, so you could then sit and be still and not be thinking about your lower back or that tense shoulder, because you already got rid of that tension. Okay, so the yoga practice itself was designed to take you progressively more internally, where first you're doing some movement, and then you do some breathing, pranayama, prana energy, Ayana. Some people, Ayama, some people would say that means Yama is death, so take you away from death. So slow down. So you're active, and then you're progressively taking your attention to subtler and subtler levels, right? Which is what the breath does. The breath is the thing that takes you, like, it literally takes what's external from you and makes it part of you. And then you're getting rid of whatever you don't need. So I will lead you in a little while in a very simple breath-based meditation, and we'll talk about mindfulness meditation. But this is, the pranayama is not the meditation, right? The pranayama is a breathing practice designed to guide you into that space where your mind can be still, where your mind can be directed in one direction, whether that's on your mantra or on an imagining the moon over a lake, reflected on a lake, or resting your attention in your heart, or on an object of your devotion. Okay, so that object of your devotion, you know, if you're Christian, could be Christ. If you're, if you have a particular connection to the goddess, could be a certain goddess, right? Or it could be, oh my gosh, I really would love to have more kindness to this particular person. So directing just kindness toward a person. All right. So what we've been talking about is directed meditation. Now, I'll just, before we go to break, also mention non-directed meditation. So non-directed meditation could be, I am the sky, and whatever comes into my head is not me, and I'll just be aware of it. Oh, I'm aware now that my mind is going to the bird. I'm aware now that my mind is going to the bill I have to pay later, right? And just be aware of it, not attached to any of it, just allowing your awareness to your attention to rest on your attention itself. Okay. So we're going to go a little deeper in the direction of mindfulness into some of my meditations, into maybe what Patanjali, who wrote the Yoga Sutras, says about the effects of some different meditations, all when we come back. So thanks so much for listening to Sexy Mom Abundant Life on OM Times Radio, IOM.FM. Thanks.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on OM Times Radio. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Would you like to have a life of more clarity and abundance? What's possible for you when you get out of your own way? Connect with Kathy Williams for private coaching or join her online to transform your relationship with abundance in every area of your life with the Radical Abundance Course. Kathy also travels, facilitating radical abundance and access consciousness bars and foundation around the world. She'll be in London, Hawaii, Hilton Head, and other fun locations soon. Visit www.meetkathywilliams.com for a class schedule, to connect with Kathy, or invite her to your region and get some free goodies.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking you questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry, I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sexy Mom Abundant Life, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. I'm so delighted to be talking about meditation today because it's something that really has helped me in my life in so many ways. I mean, just even to set the stage for a calm day or to take a moment to eliminate the distraction and come to centeredness in the middle of a busy day, and then also at the end of the day to kind of unwind and sometimes even to self-reflect, right? And self-reflection is one of those kinds of meditations that is not so one-pointed, right? When we think of meditation, a lot of times we think of that directed meditation where we're pointing our mind in a certain direction, like, oh, I'm just supposed to focus on the breath for my whole meditation. Or I'm just supposed to focus on this candle flame, which is another really powerful meditation. Like you're keeping your mind focused in one direction. And they're all mental training, which is amazing, right? We talked about in the beginning of the show some of the benefits of meditation, which include a more focused mind, right? However, as potent as those kind of directed practices can be, they may not help us see ourselves more clearly, which is the point of the next type of meditation, which is self-reflective meditation. So if I'm self-reflective, then maybe at the end of the day, I'm looking at, oh, okay, I did not speak very kindly in this situation. What might I do differently? Something like that. Or I was not very kind toward myself. What might I do differently? So, you know, just taking time to reflect on your own behavior, it can be one of the most powerful aids in our catalysts for our own transformation. Like just sitting with ourselves. Okay, what do I hold of value? What's valuable to me? How much of my energy am I spending in that direction? And sitting with that. One of my, not my first meditation teachers, but my very, one of the people I studied with a lot who really made this clear to me was Gary Crapso. And he's the author of Yoga for Transformation and Yoga for Wellness. And if you're really interested in looking in this direction as using yoga or using meditation as a catalyst for transformation, you may really like the book Yoga for Transformation. One of the practices in the book, it talks about how the yoga practice was designed to transform the body so that then you can use the breath to carry you inward to meditate. But one of the practices in the book that you may like that is really useful for taking a look at your own patterns is the practice which has you consider your daily activity and then look at how much of my use of my body, how much of my activity at the level of the body is oriented to what I truly value. And you can think about that now or later when you have some time. What are my priorities? And how much of my energy is truly spent in the direction of my highest priorities? How much of my communication is oriented in the direction of what I truly value? Right. And so we're looking at how much of my thought is oriented in that direction. And this is not always easy, right? And in some ways, it can almost be easier to, okay, I'm going to look at this candle for 15 minutes, right? Because we're not getting super vulnerable with ourself. We're not doing svadhyaya, which is self-study, to reorient, oh my gosh, okay. Like, am I really living my life with my direction orient, you know, with my energy and my thought and my action oriented in the direction of what I truly value? And so meditations like this, where you're looking at your own patterns, can feel a little bit sticky sometimes, because it's like they open something up for us where it's like, oh, yeah, if I were really living for my highest values, this would have to change. Okay. But this kind of meditation, again, like I said, it can be such a powerful catalyst for transforming us. Because as Gary used to say, and he's a little irreverent sometimes, he said, you know what, you can meditate for 40 years and just be a really focused asshole. Right? Meditation, the one-pointed focus, it really makes you focused, but it doesn't transform the character, transform the personality as much as some of these self-reflective meditations can do. Okay. So both are super useful. It's not like throw one away and do the other. both can be really useful. And even like I led a mastermind group on a meditation today in which we looked at, how far have you come over the past year? Even if maybe you're not in your happiest space right now or whatever, but energetically, with all the learnings you have, with all the experiences you've gone through, how far have you come over the past year? Because that helps us acknowledge, oh my goodness, I really have learned a lot. A lot of our patterns are often to look at, well, I'm here, and just for the radio, I'm going to say, I'm here at a 6, and where I really wanted to be by now was here at a 9. Instead of looking at, I'm here at a 6, and last year I was at a 3. How cool is that, right? I've doubled. Instead, we look at, well, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. So that kind of meditation can be useful, too. We're just acknowledging, oh, look, you know, last year I was able to tolerate my family for only 30 minutes, and now I can be with them for 2 hours. Things like that, where you're looking at yourself and both the places where you're kind of not living your highest values and also the places where you're acknowledging how much more you are now or how far you've come. Because acknowledgement is a potent practice as well. So I talked a little bit in the beginning about meditation being something that juices you instead of something you feel like you have to do, right? I have to do it because I know there are all these benefits and I don't do it. So here's the thing about that is if you'll find something that you feel is nurturing, you're more likely to do it. And it's also more likely to have a powerful effect on you. Gary used to say, if you're a certain religion, you know, yoga and meditation don't take you further away from that. They actually expand your capacity to be a good whatever you've decided you are, right? They expand your capacity to be more loving, more kind. And so what Patanjali, who wrote the Yoga Sutras, says about one of the things he says about meditation is it's important to have consistency and also faith. And that faith doesn't have to be, you know, in a God. That faith could be in the practice. I know this works for me. I've seen it work over time. Or I believe it works. I have faith in it because I see the people who practice it and how calm they are. Or I have faith, you know, because just because of my experience that I feel calmer when I do it. All right. So what Gary says in his book, Yoga for Transformation, is without faith in the effectiveness of these techniques, whatever technique you're choosing, and without the commitment to practice, right? If you just do it twice, it's not going to have the same effect as if you do it for 2 years. Okay? Without the faith and commitment, they will not work. It is therefore important to consider what will inspire faith. And for some of us, it's our teachers. Okay? I was fortunate to go to, I think, 4 silent meditation retreats, and you could call them 4 or 8, depending on, you know, when you're there. Sometimes I do too. So in India with Sri Karuna Mai, and I talked earlier about doing breathing practices before the meditation. And I started to do that because I trusted her, right? We did alternate nostril breathing, which is said to balance both hemispheres of the brain. We do it initially for 5 rounds, and I can make a YouTube video, but there are also YouTube videos out there of alternate nostril breathing. 5 rounds. So that would be in one nostril, out the other, in one nostril, out the other. That would be 1 round. In the left, out the right, in the left. And don't let me confuse you. Watch a YouTube video. All right. So we do 5 rounds, and then we built up over time to do longer and longer practices of the breath before the meditation. And initially, I just started because I had faith in her as the teacher, right? And then I started to have faith in the practice. It's because of my experience of the practice. So, or we could just have faith because we have eagerness to be free from suffering, from the distracted mind, from whatever it is, all right? So faith in the practice, or faith in the lineage of the Buddhists say this works, so I believe it works. All right, I'm going to trust that it works, and I'm going to do it and reap the benefits in my life. Okay, so some kind of faith, because that inspires you or motivates you to practice it, right? And then consistency. Now, traditionally, the yogis practiced meditation during the Brahma Muhurta, which is around 4 o'clock in the morning. Right? Now, if you've ever been awake at 4 o'clock in the morning, you can get a sense of why they'd practice then. It's because it's so still. Everyone else is asleep, which means their heads are quieter, the world is quieter, and you reap the benefits of that stillness. There are also said to be benefits due to the pituitary action, right? The action of your pituitary gland. I'm not going to get into that. During that hour, it is a still hour. Now, I know some of you are saying, 4 o'clock, Kathy, that's crazy. You do not have to get up at four to practice meditation. However, early morning does provide a stillness. Yeah, I have a whole show about waking up at five. I think it's called the power in the early morning or something like that. And it's powerful to do things when everyone else is asleep. Now, what I say is do meditation when you'll do it. So if that's early morning, if that's right before you go to bed, if that's, oh my gosh, I've got to get everyone off to school and then I'll have a moment. Do it then, right? And when you're undistracted. So having small children running around is not ideal during your meditation, but if that's the only time you can do it, do it. You might like a body-based active meditation during that time, of which I suggest Osho's meditations, O-S-H-O. Amazing dynamic meditations. Where you shake or you dance and then you settle into stillness. Super powerful. Or you jump for, I don't know how long, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And then it kind of like, it's got a cathartic effect. There are laughter meditations you can do. So finding something that you can weave into a certain time of your day when you'll do it. Okay. And like I said, cutting out distractions, either by turning off. If there's a lot of noise around, I love Jonathan Goldman's Ultimate Om. It's just one long om and then another long om. Or some people like crystal bowls or white noise. Something where your phone is off. And the noise is kind of shut out. Now, ideally, you should be able to meditate anywhere, except like when you're driving, but like on a full airplane, in the middle of a park, whatever. But if you have the tendency to say, I can't meditate, you know, I don't know how to meditate, my mind won't shut off. Eliminating distraction is one of the biggest keys. And that means, you know, if you're outside and there are lots of mosquitoes and flies, go inside. Don't be distracted by that stuff. You know, finding a way to cut out distraction initially so you can be with whatever practice you've chosen and trust that you're going to get distracted, right? And we'll talk about that in a moment. And then I'll lead you through a super simple meditation. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Sexy mom.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Would you like to have a life of more clarity and abundance? What's possible for you when you get out of your own way? Connect with Kathy Williams for private coaching or join her online to transform your relationship with abundance in every area of your life with the Radical Abundance Course. Kathy also travels, facilitating Radical Abundance and Access Consciousness Bars and Foundation around the world. She'll be in London, Hawaii, Hilton Head, and other fun locations soon. Visit www.meetkathywilliams.com for a class schedule, to connect with Kathy, or invite her to your region and get some free goodies.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Sexy Abundant Life. We're talking about meditation today, and I just created during the break a handout that you can get on my website, meetkathywilliams.com, that talks about some of the different meditation practices, and in particular, traditional yogic meditation. And what does that even mean? That means the one-pointed focus, things we talked about, and then the inquiry we talked about, right? What's my purpose? What are my priorities? Where am I putting my attention? But also questions like, who am I? One of my favorite recent questions, and I don't just ask this as I'm sitting still, but I like to ask it a lot of the time, is if I'm sad, if I'm angry, if I'm upset, like, who is the I that's sad? Who is the I that's upset? Okay. Who am I is a well-known practice of asking that by that Ramana Maharishi was said to wake up because he asked, who am I? Right? And he realized, oh, I'm not all my roles. I'm not what I think I am. I am the infinite. So that's what woke him up. And other people have followed in his footsteps. So that kind of inquiry. So we have the one-pointed focus, the inquiry. And then the third type of traditional yogic meditation is called Pratipaksha Bhavanam. And what that means is looking from another viewpoint. Cognitive reframing. So I'm really angry at Mike because Mike did this action. And then you look from Mike's point of view and you're like, oh, yeah, I could see that he would feel that way and he would choose that, right? Or looking from a larger viewpoint, will this matter in 15 years? You know, sort of reframing the situation that you're going through. So that's another kind of non-directed, sort of self-reflective meditation, the Pratipaksha. So I have that handout. It's going up at meetkathywilliams.com/radio. So Kathy has a K, Williams has an S, and meet, like, hello. and meetkathywilliams.com/radio, and that'll be up Saturday. And so I said that I will lead you in a little simple meditation. And again, right before we go into it, I'd like to talk about the fact that your mind, when you start to meditate, will likely wander. That's normal. When people say, I can't meditate, it's because they have extra external thoughts. Their mind doesn't go in that direction and stay in that direction. And that's normal because it's like a training. When you lift up a weight with your hand, you might start with a 3 or a 5 or a 7 or a 10 pound weight. You're not going to start with the 50 pound weight. So you start wherever you're at and you allow whatever thoughts to arise and let them pass. They're like clouds across the sky. No big deal. If we allow them to arise and we don't make them too significant, and if a thought keeps coming back, you could just take a moment, write it down, and then say, okay, it's there. I don't have to think it anymore. In truth, you didn't have to think it again and again, but at least you got it out of your head. Maya Tiwari, who wrote several books, including The Path of Practice, was one of my teachers. And my book has been, it's like falling apart because it's been so used up. But I went to study at her school, and one of the things that she talked about was just keeping a little notebook nearby and not making it a big deal. If you have to write something down, if you have a thought that keeps recurring, write it down, get it out of your head, and keep going with your meditation. Choose one that's of value to you. A meditation that you like, and keep going. And if you don't have one that you like yet, keep exploring. You know, I talked about the three different types of yogic meditation, but there's also mindfulness meditation, which we're not going to do. We're going to do something based on the breath, but mindfulness is really, you sit, you set your time limit. That could be setting a timer for 10 minutes, just noticing what you notice, your body, feel your breath, notice when your mind has wandered, be kind to that mind, and then continue to notice what you notice. And mindfulness has been made popular by Jon Kabat-Zinn. He is a student of the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh. And MBSR programs, as they're known, MBSR, mindfulness-based stress reduction programs, have been studied, and they're put on all over the world. So, you know, you just note whatever arises. And the breathing can be an anchor. You're not counting breaths, even though that is a way of meditating as well. You're just being aware of the air coming in through the nostrils and leaving. And you're just watching what arises, not trying to suppress anything. So that's a beautiful, not a traditional yogic meditation. It's a beautiful practice. So what we're going to do now is think of a quality that you'd like to cultivate in your life. Maybe look at, well, what would I like to have more of? What, you know, maybe I've been scattered over this month, or maybe I'd like to have a little bit more patience, or whatever it is. Okay, and we're going to choose that quality to meditate on. And I'm going to do this in a couple of ways, actually, and we'll just explore this quality, and I'll lead you through several different ways you can work with it, and you can, we're going to drop this quality into different chakras of your body, and what I'd like you to do is imagine as you drop that quality or word in, that it ripples out, kind of like when you drop a pebble into a pond, the water ripples. So you're ripping it through your energy field. First, we'll breathe with it. Okay, so go ahead and allow your body to be comfortable. and choose a quality that you'd like to cultivate. And as you inhale, receive that on the breath. Okay, you're receiving life force energy. And as you exhale, release that quality, expanding it into the space around you. So if I'm inhaling kindness, I hold that in me and expand it in me, and then exhale it into the room. So with each breath, you receive more of that quality. To you, it could be a color or just an energy. Exhaling it into the space. And as you receive it, kind of get a sense of the energy of it. What is it like to enjoy more of that in your life? And then exhale out into the space around you. Now as you inhale it, receive it, hold the breath, kind of intensify it. And as you exhale, exhale it to people that you love in your life so that they can have more of it. Inhaling, receiving. Exhale, expanding it to the people you love. And of course, you can breathe at any pace. Now, expand it to the people who are in your life, who you really, you know, who are on Facebook or at the grocery store. You're just exhaling it to them. Just people you're a little bit neutral about. Maybe you like them, you're just neutral. Exhaling it to them. Now inhale, receiving, and exhale, send that quality to people you don't like very much. Could even be politicians. Okay. I wish you more kindness. I wish you more patience. I wish you more peace. Whatever it is, inhaling, receiving, and exhale, sending it to them. And finally, inhaling, receiving this quality, holding your breath, expanding it, and now exhaling it, sending it to the world. Maybe the world is like a small ball in front of you. Receiving, intensifying, and sending it to the entire planet. Okay. Now we're going to expand this a little bit more within ourselves. So letting go of the breath, just imagine that you're dropping this word, this quality, into the area near your tailbone. And as you do, it ripples out in every direction. And you just watch the ripples. And now allowing this word to drop into and then permeate, ripple out into your low belly. Beneath the navel. Watching that ripple out. And now into the solar plexus region. Rippling out above the navel. And below the ribcage. Now bring your attention into the center of the chest, dropping this quality in, like a pebble into a pond, and allowing it to ripple throughout the chest and beyond. Now into the center of the throat. Rippling. through the third eye, between the eyebrows, behind the forehead, rippling out, and finally to the crown of your head. And allowing that quality to ripple out. And you can play with that practice with different qualities for each of the chakras, or spending more time in each or one of them. And it can be a really profound practice, as can sending that quality out to everyone. So thank you for listening to the end, everybody. Meditation, particularly this kind of chakra practice, has been really powerful for me. And I've been recently asked by some listeners to create some meditations for purchase. So that'll be coming to the shop at Meet Kathy Williams. Oh, you all get 20% off there too. SM Radio is the code, like Sexy Mom Radio. And I'll be there. You can always find me at meetkathywilliams.com or here on the radio every Thursday at iom.fm, Om Times Radio. Or if you can't wait that long, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, and all the other spaces and places. Thanks so much for listening. Aloha.